Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you, Lord. I want to share a little word with you about faith and spiritual warfare from the Song of Solomon. In a short time like this, for those who've not heard much from the Song of Solomon, I don't really have time to do a lot of explaining other than to say it's a book that's written in metaphor. The Jewish people considered it the holy of holies of all scripture. And it speaks about, prophetically, we know now, about the relationship with Christ and his bride between Jesus and us. And Solomon represents Jesus. The Shulamite and the daughters of Jerusalem represent the Christians. The daughters of Jerusalem are just Christians, but they're satisfied with not pursuing him with all their heart. They're satisfied with, I'll give you the differences. The Shulamite has chosen to pursue as the very purpose of her life what it means to be in union with Christ and to experience that as fully as she can and to manifest that as fully as she possibly can. The daughters of Jerusalem are settled for less. In chapter 4, we will go over the verses, but in the first four verses, or the first five verses of chapter 4, it's kind of halfway through the journey that's recorded here. Jesus begins to affirm this Shulamite, this believer that's pursuing him with all of her heart. And just affirming about the emerging Christ-like virtues, the emerging transformation of things that look like him in her life. It's a real time of him praising her and blessing her. In case you didn't know, the real God, not the false one, in communicating with you, spends a lot more time wanting to affirm you than to point out what you do wrong. Interesting that it says that my sins, he doesn't remember anymore. He doesn't count my sins. So if he doesn't remember my sins, what does he remember? All the things that we get right. And he affirms us in that and calls us forth. Does he point out our sins? Yes. For the purpose of freeing us and healing us, never to shame us. So here he's just affirming this believer. And instead of the believer, the Shulamite, going, wow, that is awesome, kind of just sitting down in this place of victory to celebrate, instead the response is in verse 6 of chapter 4, until the cool of the day and when all the shadows go away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. And again, without time to explain all the little reasons I'm about to say this, this mountain of myrrh, this hill of frankincense, what she is saying in response to his affirming and praising, I want to go to the place where I can go deeper, where the cross can expose more things in my life that maybe I don't yet see, that aren't fully surrendered to you, so that I can experience more of your resurrection life than ever before. That's a heart that just ravishes his. Just been praised and affirmed, and her response is, I want to experience more. And I want you to show me anything that's contrary to you so that I can experience more of you. Can't get more of him, but I can experience more of you. And it's in light of how this believer responded to his praise that Jesus then says, you are altogether beautiful, my love, and there is no spot or blemish in you. So it kind of reaffirms what 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, that God's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is completely his, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. In the King James, it says, whose heart is perfect towards him, not someone whose walk is perfect towards him or whose doctrine or theology is perfect towards him, but whose heart is perfect towards him. And then he says this in verse 8. He says, come and see. That's the language. If you don't have the word see in your translation, you need to write that in there. Come and see with me from Lebanon, my bride. First time in the Song of Solomon, he refers to her as his spouse. He's affirming their union. come and see from Lebanon. Throughout the Song of Solomon, Lebanon, or the cedars of Lebanon, always speak of new creation. And the new creation, at the heart of the new creation, is our union with him. And so he says, come and see with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come and see with me from Lebanon. In other words, we've been using this term lately. We live the Christian life from the inside out. Come and see some things out of your union with me. Come and see through my eyes. Let's see some things together. In Revelation 4, when Jesus in the throne room invites John to join him, spiritually said, come up here and I will show you what must take place. Well, see, this is easy for him to say to us because we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. We don't try to access the throne room to get God to move into the battlefield. You and I are seated in the throne room. We don't try to access the courts of heaven. I understand what they're saying, and so that's good. It's good. I understand the point, but it is still bad theology. I don't have to access the courts of heaven. I live in the courts of heaven. I'm seated in the throne in Christ in the courts of heaven. And I get to see from that place and decree and consign things from that place of union with him. So he says, come and see as a new creation. Come and see from Lebanon. See down from the summit of Amana. Summit is the highest place. Amana is the word that means to agree with. It's the idea of faith. He said, come and see with me from the new creation that you are in union with me. Come and see from the very summit of Amana so that you can hear what I see and be in agreement, because we live by the faith of the Son of God. Be in agreement with what I see. What is Jesus saying? See, how did Jesus live? He only did those things he saw the Father doing. He only said those things he heard the Father saying. What did that look like? How did that work? It worked out of his union. He grew in seeing what the Father saw about a situation and said what he heard the Father saying. And then I love this part. He says, see from the summit of Senir and Hermon. Those are both the same mountain. One people called it Senir, one people called it Hermon. So hang in there with me with all these names because I'll put it all together in a minute. Senir means authority. And the word Hermon means destruction or blessing. To consign destruction or blessing. From the dens of lions and from the mountains of leopards and from the dens of leopards. Here's what he's saying to her. She's kept this place in the Lord. He says, now I want you to come. You're altogether beautiful. There's no spot or blemish in you because of your heart. Come now. I want you to learn how to see as a new creation is supposed to see. Isn't that what 5 talks about? I recognize no man according to the flesh anymore because I'm a new creation. Come and see in union with me. See from that place, from that high place, seated in heavenly places. Come and see from the place of authority, from the place of being in agreement with me, which the place of authority, because I'm seated on the throne with him. See from the place of authority where you can consign and designate destruction or blessing. From the mouths of the dens of lions and leopards. Such a powerful scripture that the enemy operates from the heavenly realms also. The heavenly places, this unseen realm of reality, the demonic spirits move and do stuff on this earth, but they move from that spiritual realm. But the highest place, the place of where God lives, the place of authority is the third heavens. And there we're seated in Christ, in union with him. And so from the dens of lions and leopards, the enemy's roaring and saying things and doing things. And we're not down here on earth crying out into the courts of heaven for God to do something about that. We're seated in a higher place than that. And from the very mouths of the dens of lions and leopards, we, in the authority that we have in union with Christ, what we see through his eyes, we get to designate and consign to destruction or blessing. Overruling what the enemy, the roaring of the leopards and the lions. That's amazing to me. Now listen, I'm either not explaining this very well, or you should be more excited than you are. You are in a place of authority above them. And when they roar, we don't have to be afraid of them. If we see from his eyes what we believe to be his will, we come into agreement with him and by faith take our place of authority and consign and designate the activity and the plans and the schemes of the enemy to destruction and the plans and the designs of God the place of blessing. It means literally to make them sacred. You're consigning them to the sacred place makes them sacred. Because you're doing it in union with Christ. I've got something really in my heart that I'm praying for. It's a big deal. I've been saying all along, I can only see it this way. And this morning, I've taught this stuff so many times. But I saw this, and I said, God, speak to me more about the whole den of lions and leopards. And he said, Chuck, you don't run from them. It's from the summit. You have authority. Then you step down in front of them where the roaring enemy's roaring. And you, from what you see as my spouse in union with me, you have the authority. You consign. You bind what I've already bound. You loose what I've already loosed. And you consign and you designate the works of the enemy to destruction. And then you bless the works of God and it'll make them sacred. That's the kind of authority that you and I have. That's an amazing thing. That's not towards the courts of heaven. That's from the courts of heaven. And you're not just a minor character in the courts of heaven. You're with him on the summit. You're seated in him on his throne. And he's showing you what must take place and through you, in union with you, consigning and designating things to destruction and to blessing, that which is holy, that which is not. That's what authority looks like. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.